All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Journey Footballers Podcast. This is episode 2, and today we have our good friend Tom on. So just can you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know?
Hi, yes, so I'm a footballer playing semi-professional at the minute in England. I'm playing Tier 5 football, which is like 3 leagues below professional football. So I've still got a bit of work to do, but I'm enjoying the process. I'm only 18 years old at the moment, so hopefully I can make it somewhere.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So can you just take us through like the background of your career? So starting like when you played, just a brief like story of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, definitely. So basically, I've played football at, like most people ever since they were like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing all my life. And then when I was really young, I got picked up by a professional club called Burnley.
If you know. Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
So I played for them when I was probably about 7. And then I didn't really realise how serious it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it were on a Friday night, and I basically decided I didn't enjoy it. It was just too serious for me.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so obviously looking back, that's a regret.
Right.
But moving on, I went back to playing Sunday League football for my local club, and then I went to another team, which was like, you do tournaments in the summer, basically.
Okay.
And there were some scouts there, including Man City.
Okay.
Blackburn. Have you heard of Blackburn?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Who else were there? And a team called Bury. Have you heard of Bury?
Yes.
Yeah. So I basically, in this tournament, I had the best tournament of my life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I played so well. Even back now, it's probably the best I've played ever. And all 3 scouts basically took all my details and said that they'd give my dad her ring at the time.
And how old were you at this time?
So at this point, I think I was 13.
Okay.
So obviously, I did what I think everyone would do, and I went to Man City.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I soon realised that I didn't really stand a chance there.
Gotcha.
So basically, what they do is they fly in foreign players from all over the world, even at the age of 13.
Yeah.
Put the families up in houses and stuff like that. It's crazy. And
wow.
I just thought, I can't. I have no chance, basically. So I chose to go to Blackburn after that. That were the next step down, and I was there for 6 months. I enjoyed it. I thought, this is brilliant. I'm hoping to get offered a contract, and they pretty much told me I was going to get a contract, and then when the time came to it, they said no.
And how old were you then?
So I'll probably have been 14 now.
Okay.
So, and then I went to Bury, because literally, as soon as you get released from one club, the next club's on the phone because they know that you've got potential at that age.
Right.
So I went to Bury, and the same happened there. 6 months, and then that was it. They said no.
So was it like a 6-month trial, or yeah. How would it...
Yeah, okay. Basically. They asked you to come and train, and then if they think you've got the chance, they'll give you a 6-week trial.
Okay.
And after the 6 weeks, they've either got to sign you and give you like a contract, or
mm-hmm.
they release you.
So out of all those clubs that you've been at, which one would you say like helped you develop the most as a player?
I think probably Man City. The obviously the facilities and everything.
Yeah.
And
how long were you at City for?
I was probably there for about 3 months, which isn't a very long time, but it was just everything. Like, it was just a brand new experience. Like, they'd wash all your kit. They were sponsored by like Lucozade at the time, so you got Lucozades for free.
Yeah,
and it was just a crazy experience, really.
That's sweet. All right, so you're 14 at this point. You just got released from Bury.
Yeah.
So now what was your next steps from there?
So from there, I'd faced rejection 3 times.
Oh yeah.
So I was pretty low. Like, it brings you to tears when they tell you. And because a little story, basically, when I got released for Bury, I was playing against Man United on my last game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'd played. Well, no, I didn't even get in the starting lineup. And then they brought me on for literally 2 minutes at the end of the game. And then straight after the game, they said, oh, yeah, sorry, we don't want you anymore.
Wow, that's brutal.
I know. I thought you could have just told me beforehand and then I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But that was all right. And then, so moving on, sorry about that. Then I was down, so I went back to playing for my local team again, where it all began. Yeah. Started to enjoy my football again. And that's when it was getting to the point of looking for a scholarship, because you get a scholarship when you're 16 over in England. So I looked for a scholarship, and I managed to find one for a team called Fylde, AFC Fylde, and they're in the fifth division of English football.
Okay.
So they're classed as a professional team, but a lot of them need another job and stuff like that. So I spent my last 2 years playing there. I picked up an injury in my ankle in the second year, so I missed the full second year, which was obviously devastating.
Yeah.
And then they released me at the end of the 2 year scholar. So that's when I've signed for a semi-professional club.
Okay. Wow. That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
And, you know, for all our listeners, like, you know, you've gone through so many hard times and rejections that, like, you know, it's just crazy. What was the one thing that you did, or multiple things that you did, to pick yourself up from those hardships?
I think the main thing for me was that I didn't stop playing. So even though I was getting told I weren't good enough for that level, I didn't think I weren't good enough to play at all. So I went to a level where I'd enjoy it and where I'd be the best player in the team, or like one of the best players. And once I picked up my confidence again, it makes you think, right, I'm going to go again and not give up.
Right. Yeah. Love that attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just going to switch topics a little bit.
Yep.
So now that, you know, all this has happened in the world, Corona, we would just like to know, like, what have you been doing during this time to stay busy, you know, stuff like that?
Yeah. My main two focuses of lockdown period and quarantine and everything like that is training, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly is my Instagram and my YouTube. And luckily that all falls into one, really, because as you two all know, if you don't train, there's no content.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's been my main thing. Like, I know a lot of my mates and my friends are saying that they're bored and stuff. I'm like, how can you be bored?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I know you two get busy, I know that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand all these people saying that they're bored. There's so many opportunities out there, you know, online, you know, making yourself better. I just don't understand.
Exactly.
It.
No, there's never enough time.
Yeah. So can you just explain what a typical day in your life would be now, like in quarantine? So, you know, when you wake up, your breakfast, your training, all your meals, stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll wake up about 8 o'clock. I always try and have about 8 hours sleep, 8 to 9 at the moment.
Vital.
And then I'll usually get breakfast straight away. Well, actually, no, sorry. I meditate first. So I'll do
good stuff.
10 minutes, really. and then I'll go downstairs, get some oatmeal, or we call it porridge. Do you know?
Yeah.
So we get that. I have a banana and an apple, usually a coffee, and then I'll do some editing. And then I'll have already planned my session the night before, my training session. So I'll go out. Luckily, I'm staying at my girlfriend's at the minute, who has a garden, so I'm being able to do plenty of different drills. Obviously, like I made a post about this recently, you can't work on your shooting and your crossing and stuff, but you can work on the things you want to work on, which you can work on.
Definitely.
So then I'll come in and I'll have my lunch, which usually at the minute I'm enjoying some chicken wraps and salad. That seems to be getting me a good amount of protein in as well. But because I'm not doing that much cardio, I'm not overloading myself on carbohydrates. So
right.
And then the afternoon's the boring part. It's just, well, it's not boring, but like YouTube and editing, you'll know what it's like.
Yeah.
And then tea varies, because my girlfriend's parents are making the meals, so it varies, but it's all healthy stuff, you know.
Good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like we're really common in that aspect. Like, pretty much we do the same thing, you know? And I feel like a lot of people can learn from what you have told us so far in this episode about, like, how you stay focused throughout the day, you know, stuff like that. And you just have to keep focused so you're not that person who says that you're bored.
Yeah, no, exactly. You're right.
Yeah, so you mentioned earlier that, like, you plan out your sessions. So how exactly did you do that? Because I know, you know, a lot of people don't really have a lot of structure in their training, and they kind of just go to the field and do whatever. So if you can go into that a little bit more, that'd be awesome.
So I'll always make sure I get a good warm-up in to start off. And I know a lot of people always say that they do this and then they probably won't. Like, it is easy to think, you know what, I'll just get on with the session, but I've had injuries and it's not worth it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I'll do my warm-up, and then I usually go into a juggling routine that I've come up with, which involves a tennis ball and then just different combinations of juggling, basically. And then beforehand, I'll have thought about what I actually want to work on as my main session. So whether that be a first touch or my dribbling or, you know, anything, any aspect of my game that I think I could do with improving. And I've found if you write down the amount of reps and the amount of sets or how long you want to spend on each one, that really gives you a good structure as well. So you're not like just thinking, right, I'll do 10 minutes on this and then, oh, I might go and do 10 minutes on that. So I've found that helpful. And then after I've done that, I'll have a little stretch and just cool down from the session.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
What about you?
Yeah.
Similar or?
Yeah, I mean, we sort of plan it out. We don't plan it out to a T every rep like you do. But again, like, it's what works for you. So obviously planning your sessions out, you know, rep by rep is what works for you. And that's awesome. And that can be used for a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And for us, we like kind of do half of what you do. We have an idea of what we want to work on, whether it's, you know, our first touch, opening up our body, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll just come up with drills to do that. And then on the spot, we'll see, all right, let's do three sets of this. Just right, our feeling, you know?
Yeah. And like when we're training together, we would just text. We'd be like, all right, so what do you want to work on today? And then we would have a goal for that training session. And
yeah,
it would be a specific training session for, let's say, passing. And we would do all passing that session and just really focus on things that we want to, you know, develop as players.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because a lot of people, well, I've done it before. You get to the ground or you get to the pitch and you haven't decided what you want to work on, and you come back and you don't feel like you've achieved anything as such.
Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly. A waste of time.
Yeah, you don't want to go to the field and sit there thinking for 20 minutes, oh, what am I going to do? You want to have some sort of idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about your career so far, and we just want to know, if you could go back and change anything or give yourself any advice from all the way when you started playing soccer, what do you think that advice would be?
Good question. Obviously, I'm still young, so I've got a lot to learn. I don't know all the answers, that's for sure. But I think looking back and giving myself advice, I think I'd stop, like, worrying about what other people think. So, I mean, I'm still not very good for this now. I still care way too much about what other people think, but I just know that I didn't, like, I put that extra half an hour in before a team training session, but beforehand I'd be too shy to do that. Like, I'd worry about what everyone else thinks of me, you know what I mean?
I was the same way as you. Like, that was probably the biggest thing that I had to change in myself also, is not caring about what people say. Because, like, when me and Dan, we first started this Instagram, like, we wouldn't tell anyone. We were kind of embarrassed about it.
I'll tell you the truth. People don't know about mine right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Like, just let it happen.
Yeah. We know exactly, you know, where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Because we were the same exact way. It does take time, but... Dude, people are going to have a lot more respect for you, and just, it's going to be all positive, you know?
Yeah.
We feared that people would, you know, make fun of us, and we did have people make fun of us, but, you know, they were actually the people who eventually were asking for advice and help.
Yeah.
To train. So I think, you know, it is tough to get over, but once you do, you'll be glad you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I know that's my goal, and I wish that I could just not bother. But it as you'll know, it's harder to do.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
Thing. It is. It is. So you know, just you know, take it easy. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. So as we're on the topic of, you know, Instagram and stuff, obviously you have a page. So, like, what's your goal and message behind your page, and, like, why you started it?
I think the first why I started it, obviously, I think for a lot of people, it's because you see the likes of Become Elite and pages right. like that, and you think, oh, that looks good. Like, yeah. I'll do that. And you think, oh, I'll have thousands of followers in a couple of weeks, and obviously that's not the reality at
all.
As I've evolved and as I've carried on with it, I think it motivates me. I feel as though people are almost watching am I training, so even if I don't feel like training on one day, I'll think, well, I need to go and do a session, or else I'm telling my followers and my subscribers to work hard and eat train when you don't want to train. But yeah, if mm-hmm. I'm not doing it, then that's critical.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good advantage of having the page. And then I also want to document my journey, like a lot of people, I think, want to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then finally, what I'm looking to move into at the moment is, like, online coaching and really trying to help people on a personal level.
Yep.
To improve their game, and I feel as though with my experience of rejection and stuff like that, I could be quite a good mentor for them as well.
For sure, bro. For sure.
Yeah, and like, you have a really good page, so just keep doing what you're doing. And I mean, you have great intentions of, like, you're not saying, oh, I want to run this Instagram to make money and get a lot of followers. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's not the way to do it. So what you're doing is great, you know?
Yeah. And like you said before, you know, you think when you start something, like, oh, it's going to be super easy, I'm going to have thousands of followers in weeks. Like, that's not how it is. And that's not how it is with anything. Like,
no.
Like, when you start training, you're not going to become good in 3 weeks. It's going to take months and in years.
Exactly.
Same thing with you know, growing an audience and building a personal brand. So
yeah,
you know, it's just a process, you know.
Yeah, because like what I've found when I'm most consistent with my uploading and stuff like that, that's when you see real growth online.
Consistency is key.
Exactly.
In everything.
Exactly. So, and the same applies in training, like you,
yeah,
you said.
All right. Well, that just about does the episode. Thank you, Tom, for coming on with us.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, we really hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you on the next episode.